agenda?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Vouchers.
Okay.
I'm going to put myself on mute while you guys sign the vouchers, and if you could just let me know when you're ready, we can continue.
Okay.
Oh, there is one of the vouchers that I saw. If Buffalo EMS is there, if they could just let the board know. It was my understanding that the nitrous oxide was not able to be returned, so we are going to have to pay for that.
Really?
And it is in here. There's a question.
What are we going to do with it? Do we have the distribution mechanism in the ambulance for it?
What would that mean?
That would mean the bottles of the nitrous oxide and the ambulance equipped to handle the bottles and so on. What's being done? Anybody?
It's a portable unit, and Dr. Goddard is prepared to write a protocol for it. And initially, his protocol was for a portable use in the field, not in the ambulance. So it's going to be in a bag.
Oh, like all right. So the idea of rigging something up to store it in the... I didn't like that idea very well.
If there is anyone, I can't hear anybody unless you're kind of speaking filter. I don't know if that was Carrie speaking. I could just barely hear. If there's something that like you guys need me to stop for or anything, just please let me know, just because I can't hear anybody in the crowd speaking. If you wouldn't mind, please, if someone has something they need me to stop for.
So did we get your question answered on the nitrous oxide then?
I didn't hear anything. I just saw that we were paying for it, so I just wanted you guys to be aware of the reason why.
Duly noted.
Thank you. I just didn't want you to see the $3,000 again and question.
And that was $3,750 to Henry Schein. So I have a voucher for $456 for new checks. That
I had to purchase new checks. The green ones you're signing there, we were out of checks.
How many checks does that buy?
Oh, goodness, I think it says on there. It's through the Lux business. They're computer generated. QuickBook ready checks. 500.
Almost a dollar a check.
That probably needed a new address on them anyway.
Yeah, I updated that part.
I really don't have any choice there.
Mm-mm.
You know.
more than I thought, though, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's gone up, right?
All right. Yeah. Well, they're nice, but I don't know if they're that nice.
They're rather expensive.
Black and white version.
Here's the full
grain of velcro. Thanks. There was that little stack there, Dr. Sugar.
Sign these district wide since Brittany's not here.
She could meet. Can she meet up with me later this week and sign them, or should they be signed here?
Brittany?
Yes.
On these district wide ones, these vouchers that you usually sign, do you think we can have like the secretary or the treasurer sign them this time, or do you want to wait and when you get back into town and catch up with Teresa?
Well, I hate to wait in case when I'm coming back into town.
Okay. So we can have Dr. Schuller can sign them. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Yep.
So the ambulance reimburses the town of KC for utilities, in addition to Powder River for their building? Because I see two statements here.
The town of KC is water, sewer, garbage. Powder River Energy is electricity and the used gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you tell me again what the liability bond, that SNA security, I know we pay it all the time, but I can't remember.
That's the part of the licensing requirement from the state. You have to have a bond, get your state license, it's an annual payment for that. It's set for the part of the EMS when we do our license renewal.
Okay, I knew it was something like that. I think I remember.
Thank you.
Gary, I got a question for you. Is the Buffalo EMS LLC monthly payment about $63,274?
I think it's
60. I was thinking it was 62 something, right?
Yep.
So on this May 23 printout, it shows
that they had some out of county transfers.
Oh, that's added into that out of county. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Good.
Are we done?
So.
I think we're done, Brittany.
Okay, perfect. So, can I have a motion to approve the vouchers?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of approving the signed vouchers, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. All right. View and approval of minutes. Teresa sent those all out. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
I don't. I think every word spoken is in there.
She did a great job.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how detailed most minutes are, but I guess there's certainly no misunderstanding about what happened at the meeting. So I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay, Dr. Schuler and the Treasurer's Report.
It's been a good month for the Rural Health District. Currently have on hand in cash $879,989 and in certificates of deposit $1,001,570. Ambulance revenue for the month, $32,657. And that puts us at 80.3% of our budgeted revenue cycle for 11 months of the fiscal year. I went back the past 3 years to look at what kind of revenue was generated in the month of June, just so we could forecast what our revenues would be at the end of this fiscal year. But I found there's a widely variable amount of revenue collected. In 2020, $42,814 were collected in the month of June. In 2021, $23,780, and last year $135,312. So anticipating what next month revenue will be to finish out the year is hard to tell because of the varying amount of reimbursement we get on a monthly basis. But if you averaged those past 3 years, it would be about $67,000. And on top of what our revenues for the year are, that would put us at about 90% of what we budgeted for the year. Our interest for the year has been $14,915, which is substantially more than what's budgeted. And next year, the proposed interest income is $50,000. However, having transferred $200,000 to our building fund, we'll reduce that amount. Perhaps $5,000 to $7,000 less than what the budget forecast would be. Next year, I'll be a little bit the wiser. Taxes continue to come in ahead of what we budgeted. And our discussion last month about what to forecast for next year left us with a conclusion of $850,000. But currently, after 11 months, we have $913,571 in tax revenue. So that's favorable. I'm sure our 23% increase in property tax is contributing to that.
Dr. Schuler, that's not correct. Your new property taxes are not figured in that amount. That is an incorrect statement. What is driving your increase in your tax collection is the monthly payment of mineral production taxes.
From years in arrear or from the current year?
From current, because we're now operating under a system where they produce it and then they pay for it. But the statement that this year's property taxes, the mill levies have not been set, nor has the valuation been certified. That is an incorrect, factual statement to say that the increase in people's property taxes right now are driving the increase in your revenue.
Well, I hope no one's offended by that, but let the record show that that's an incorrect assumption. And what about next year's tax revenue? Should we anticipate that the increase in property taxes will drive those figures considerably higher than the forecast $850,000?
That's a question you need to have with the assessor, because remember, you're a district-wide tax assessment. You assess the different properties at different rates, whether it's minerals, residential, commercial. So that really is a conversation you need to have with the assessor on what the valuation is going to be certified at.
Very well. Our total revenues to date, $1,757,983, which is 135% of our budgeted revenues, much of which are due to higher than expected revenues from out of county transfers. But in addition, thus far, $113,000 plus additional tax revenue than what was budgeted. So I had a question for our bookkeeper about reserves, which is the second from the bottom line item under revenue. And that's an artifact left over from a previous budget. Those numbers are, I guess for lack of a better term, a way of balancing the budget. But that really doesn't amount to money going from one place to another, and it won't be part of our budget in the next fiscal year. So reserves of $51,000 year to date doesn't have a lot of meaning, from my understanding. In terms of expenses, I'll summarize that district total expenses are at 77% of budget, Buffalo EMS 92% of budget, and KC expenses 87%. Total expenses 87% of budget, which is under budget for this time of year. So that concludes the treasurer's report. Would be willing to address any questions.
So I just have one. So the out-of-county transfers aren't considered taxes. Those are like additional revenue, kind of like we were in our ambulance revenue up there. Those out-of-county transfers would be considered part of that because they get billed for that. So that doesn't fall into the tax category.
Where's that coming from? I'm not.
Hmm?
Where's your?
Oh, I'm just saying that for the out of county transfers, that has increased our outlook substantially to the positive, but does not fall under the taxes that we receive.
Right.
Falls like an ambulance receipt. I was just clearing that up. I think it was a good treasurer's report, and I'll make a motion to approve it.
I second.
So we'll do except for a couple.
Is there any other questions?
I don't think so. Did you hear the motion, Brittany?
Sorry, say that again.
Oh, sorry. Did you hear Marilyn motioned and Marie seconded?
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't hear that.
No problem.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
I seconded it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, treasurer's report is approved. Buffalo EMS director's report. And I'm sorry, but Dave and Crosby, if you guys could maybe just step to the table just so I can hear the director's report, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Brittany, Dave is not here at the moment, so it's Carrie. I'll be giving the ambulance report for May.
Sure, sounds great.
Okay. So in May, we had a total of 68 calls. 53 were medical, 15 were trauma. We had 23 transfers, 8 to Billings, 5 to Casper, 3 to Sheridan, and 7 to the airport, with only one of those being a nurse transfer to Billings. We did not have any out-of-county transfers in May. 28 were in-town calls, 40 out-of-town. 50 were Johnson County residents, 18 non-residents. 10 patient refusals, 4 standbys, 2 codes. We did not have a DOA or a county fire extrication or a trauma team activation. So of those, 21 were Medicare, 2 Medicaid, 13 insurance, 10 self-pay, 5 VA, 1 Title 25, and again, it's a total calls 68 for the month of May. And Dave just walked in, so if you have any questions for him, he is in attendance now.
So we probably, correct me if I'm wrong, we will not get reimbursed for that Title 25 transfer?
Only if we send the bill to the Johnson County Attorney's Office and they agree to pay it.
Okay.
So QuickMed claims at this point will not be forwarding it to anyone because it is a Title 25. So if we do want reimbursement or paid for that, it needs to be sent to the County Attorney's Office.
Was that a Casper transfer or was it a call?
Yes, Casper.
Does anyone have any questions for Carrie or Dave?
That total call amount, is that pretty average for May?
60? Sorry?
Is that 68 for May pretty average on just total calls?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. That's a little, you know, our transfer numbers were really up last month, and this month already we had 3 transfers in one day. This month already we had 3 ambulances out yesterday. At the same time, call and call and call.
Yeah.
So it's been
so far in June, it's been at normal June. It's getting busier and busier. But yeah, 68 is that's kind of a high number for me.
Thanks. Thanks, Carrie.
Sorry, I can't tell. Are we good for Buffalo EMS director report?
Yep.
Crosby's
ready.
Okay.
You ready, Brittany?
I'm ready.
So for the month of May, we had a total of 10 calls. 7 of those were medical, 3 traumas. Out of those, 2 ended up being refusals. 1 was a patient that went on life flight. So a semi-busy May. For us, that's all I got on that report. Unless there's questions, I do have a couple other things I want to address the board about. And this is something. First one is apparently the hospital has a new phone system. I spent over 10 minutes pushing 9 to get an operator to get her to the ER one day. I don't know if there's got to be a better system, install some radios, so we talk to them directly on WildLink. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there that their new system is very not user-friendly for EMS. I did have a question on the lift assist policy because I was asked by a resident that I did a lift assist for. Is it 1 free in a lifetime, 1 free in a year?
I thought it was 1. I guess we didn't really clarify that very well.
And she asked me that directly because she'd been reading the paper. She says, is this my free one for the rest of my life? Or is there a time frame? I said, I will ask the board that question. So probably something to think about, not that we have to answer at this minute, just so you guys know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I understand repeats. We need to bill for those, but if they call once every 2 years, is that justifiable? I have no idea. But,
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's good to think about.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, that's about all I have. You guys got any questions?
I was in the ER Friday night, and we had a call. This was a trauma just south of KC. And soon after he arrived in the ER, there was another page for the KC ambulance. And they were out the door in about a minute and a half. Now, my question was, did they have to go all the way to KC to respond to that call, or is there a backup system?
So they were not paged. They were called directly by dispatch to call dispatch on the phone. Dispatch told them they did not want to page the call because of the nature of the call. I found this out Saturday morning. So nobody knew there was a second call. So yes, they responded from the ER in Buffalo to a call that was 30 miles east of KC. Dispatch, if that patient would have been viable, dispatch would have killed him for not paging that call. There were people available. There was an ambulance available in KC for that call.
Who made that call, I guess? Or
dispatch.
Okay. Or was the request from the caller?
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay.
It was called in as it would have been it was possible SI. It should have been an immediate page. We had people available. We would have responded. They were at the ER and had to clear the ER and head that way. Dispatch also told a caller recently that we were not available and dispatched SO, Wyoming Highway Patrol, search and rescue, and life flight before they ever paged KC ambulance for a trauma west of KC. I was beat to scene by Wyoming Highway Patrol because dispatch told the caller there was no ambulances available in KC. I have no say over dispatch, but they're doing a horrible job. So that's why that went down that way, is they didn't want to page it because it was a sensitive call, is what they were told on the phone.
Who does have control over dispatch?
Great question.
The chief of police.
It's good to know though, Crosby.
Are you meeting with dispatch with all about all this, Crosby, or how, like, what's the next step to fix this?
No, this is actually, I mean, if somebody wants to take it to them, it would be a board thing to go to the chief of police. I mean, we don't have any written agreements, SOGs on how they do stuff. It's they do what they do, how they want to do it. We don't get a lot of say in that. But, I mean, it should probably be addressed, but that's not my level.
We have had meetings in the past. Yep. To address issues.
Yeah. And I'm willing to come to a meeting. I just think it's a higher level than just me meeting.
I think it needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
I mean, if a patient's life is at risk due to this, if something can be improved, I definitely think it's something that we need to work on as a board.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, like, I talked to the RP on the one call, and he said, I'm surprised to see you. I was told there were no ambulances in KC.
Huh.
So, that's twice they've done weird stuff. I don't know why, I mean, what's going on, but probably ought to be followed up on.
Yeah.
So. I think what we'll do, maybe, and if the board, I'll talk to you, Crosby. I'll give you a call later, and we can you can just kind of brief me more as to how, like, what's the concerns, ways that they could be improved, and then we can, just to make sure that we have everyone has a good understanding before we go to them, and just to utilize you and the knowledge that you have behind all of it, I think is important.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're going to have to pull some records, et cetera, because, I mean, I'm telling you what I know from my side. There's probably something on their side that's, you know, they may have something in their recordings or something that happened that we don't know about. But I still disagree with, someone calls 911, you page an ambulance. No matter what the call is, that's your first priority, is to page an ambulance.
Regarding the hospital phone system, you were having difficulty with your cell phone contacting the hospital?
So I called. I got the automated system. You know, you can push 9 for an operator. I just kept pushing 9, and it would kick me back to the menu. I'd push 9, it'd kick me back to the menu. I'd push 9, it'd kick me back to the menu. Finally, somebody somewhere answered it. I said, it's Crosby Taylor, KC Ambulance. I need to speak to the ER nurse for about a patient report. I'm like, oh, okay. And they were great to transfer me, but there has to be a better system than call that number.
Crosby, you had mentioned before that they did not give you you were just told to call the 5521 number, correct?
Yep.
Not the direct one.
That's what we've always been told, is call that number.
Yeah, okay.
And Dennis, you're nodding your head. You've dealt with the same thing, maybe?
I've had the same type of problem, only I get an answering machine, which is interesting. And I dialed the actual doctor's telephone. I got the answering machine. They've been working on that for a couple of weeks now, but I did get a brand new number that goes to the nurse's station in the ER, and that's the number I call when I call it for a report.
Which would make more sense to call directly to the
ER. Uh-huh.
I got a
new number if you'd like it.
Yeah, why don't you share that with Crosby?
Is there a nurse in the ER at the nurse's station all the
unless
time?
It's dark out.
Or
a lot
if
of times
they're
on the floor.
Or if they're in a patient room, because you have one nurse and you have 7 ER rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this time of year, there will not always be a body sitting next to the phone.
Will that ring, like, down to the other nurse's station after so many rings?
No,
only the hospital number will ring at all sites.
Okay,
so
that's
the ER number will ring at that nurse's station.
Which I think was originally why we were told to use that number, because it rings throughout the building, especially at night. But during the day now, you get the automated system.
And that's also after hours on 5521. Do you know, Brittany?
I'm assuming, I don't know. But I'll find this out for you.
My suggestion is install some radios and we'll call them on the Wildlink channel that goes directly to the ER.
And we have radios waiting.
That won't be any better than a phone if there isn't somebody sitting next to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work with the telemetry then? If there's not somebody in the ER and, say, Casey or Buffalo's out in town and they're shooting the telemetry back to the ER?
Well, there will be someone. If an ambulance gets paged out, it's like, so there's not a nurse. When the nurse is, if the nurse doesn't have anyone in ER, they go down to the floor to help. However, the second an ambulance page goes out, when we hear that ambulance page, because we hear it in the ICU, that nurse goes right back down to the floor, calls the doc in, and gets everything ready. So when we do hear the ambulance page, that nurse is heading down to the ER.
Does that computer that picks up the telemetry, does it have an alarm on it or anything? Or
it does.
Or does somebody have to be right there to see it?
So it will keep signaling when there's one pending. If you're not sitting there, when you come back to that station, it's letting you know.
Okay. Well, we still have radios sitting in a shop from 3 years ago that aren't installed yet either.
Well, we used to hear radio communication from KC, but I haven't recently.
I don't know that any of that handheld in there is going to pick up anything from the towers in the south side of the county.
What you have in there now won't. The new Wildlink radios will.
Yeah, if we kicked over like the JC, I mean, the hospital has their own Wildlink channel. We could at any time get out there and say, Buffalo ER, and it goes directly to you guys.
Well, Wildlink has been a discussion that's gone on longer than I've been in Buffalo, and that's a while.
Yeah.
I don't know where that will go, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Well, it's what the new radios that have been waiting to be installed at the hospital are Wildlink radios. It's just a matter of we getting the okay to get them installed.
Well, I think that might give us more information about what KC is doing, but I'm not sure calling in report will be any easier with Wildlink.
My only thought was even if they're in a room, they can hear it, and then when they get free, they can call us back on the radio. That was, you're in a room, you hear MS-192 on the radio patient report. We tried twice, no answer. That nurse, when she's free, can run out there and say, 192, go ahead. I mean, in my mind, Doc, I don't know. I don't work in the ER, so.
Yeah, that's probably true. In a majority of cases.
Yeah. If they're down on the floor or somewhere and it's not busy, that's not going to obviously work unless, well, there's a radio for the other nurses stationed too, isn't there?
Yeah, there should be in ICU. They should hear it there as well.
So.
Well, I can follow up on when those radios can be installed.
Is that ER phone number been working for you, Dennis?
Yeah, if a nurse is available, it rings right there at their station. And there's a different number for the doctor, which is right over here by their computer. And don't call that one, because that's what I've been using. Call that one. Okay. If there's a nurse available, that rings at their station.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, they don't answer that, we're supposed to go back to the 5521
gotcha.
And get transferred back in.
All right.
That was my instructions.
Cool. Good information.
Great, right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Old business. Finalizing the budget I have on here. Do we have anything more we need to do with this?
Well, that's a loaded question. I'll offer a couple of thoughts, but I'm not in favor of making any major change. It's possible that tax revenue will be higher than our 850, although that doesn't seem to be a problem for us this year with higher revenues than budgeted. So I wouldn't favor changing our estimate. I think it's accurate enough from what we know.
And Dr. Schuler, I did talk with Steve at the assessor's office, and I asked him if he thought that 850 was a reasonable estimate, and he said yes.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that should be pretty close.
And the other relates to the interest income estimate for budget, which is for the next year, $50,000, and having moved money into the building fund, it will be somewhat less, but I don't think that's a significant enough amount to go through major revisions on that line. And we'll have a better understanding of that as the year progresses. So I think we've worked on the budget enough to have a presentable one, and I was notified of a budget hearing on the 22nd of June at 1 p.m., which is an adjustment from what the previous schedule was.
Yeah, I thought it was like at 2 o'clock on the 21st or something like that.
Well, this was in order for me to go and present.
Okay. Because I can go. I should be able to.
June 22 at 1 p.m.
Okay. Not the 21st anymore that was sent out.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea if our treasurer's there.
Yeah.
I apologize for this, but I feel like this, all the budgets are running together for me. Have we voted, have we finalized, have we voted to approve this budget already? I thought we had, correct?
We voted on the
preliminary. We did the preliminary, but not the final.
So do we probably need to vote on the budget tonight since it will start before our next meeting, correct?
Yes. And then, did we submit our preliminary to the commissioners? We must have.
Yes.
Okay. All right, yeah. So
we also need to set a date and time for the budget hearing, which mm-hmm. I think we just did, according to our timeline budget worksheet.
We usually do that, our July.
So Jody just emailed you, Dr. Schuler, about that budget hearing change to the 22nd at 1?
Yes.
1 o'clock.
Okay.
22nd at 1.
And our budget hearing...
I think I can make that.
Oh, I
can
see
well.
Right there, yeah.
22nd at 1, yeah.
Yeah, I can't make that.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion we approve the final budget numbers.
A second.
All in favor of approving our budget as stands, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
And then on the budget hearing, Brittany, we typically have done that at our July meeting because it's usually, I don't know what the date on our July meeting is, but it's usually within the statutes of when we have to have that hearing.
It's July 10th, I think.
July 10th?
Yes.
So we're good to go for that June one then?
I think so, because it's what we have to have it in before the third Monday in July.
We'll set the mills the third Monday in July.
Yeah.
So on the timeline I have, it says budget hearing held not later than 5 days of the third Thursday in July.
Yeah.
Which means not
we're good with the time.
Not more than 5 days after the third Thursday.
Yeah, so
our next meeting
but
would be fine.
Now,
Read that Commissioners ratified the mills that have been submitted along with SEPTA County's budget on the third Monday of July. So if your budget is in and your mills are in, we will do it at that meeting. If they come in after, we may not approve your mills till August. Okay. But typically they're all done at that third Monday in July.
Did you hear that, Brittany?
I'm sorry, I didn't. No.
So July 20th, according to the State Department of Audit, July 20th is the last day for budget hearings.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good with July 10th. Then we don't have to have a special meeting to do it.
So the 22nd at 1 isn't necessary, then that would be...
No,
we would
that's
do that.
The 22nd at 1 is just to present our budget to the commissioners so they can ask questions if they want.
Perfect, okay.
And the budget hearing is just a formal process. It's its own meeting. Mm-hmm. You take your own notes and you allow for public comments. And we do need to advertise that in the paper twice. Because the Department of Audit will require proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Did you hear that, Brittany?
I can't hear anything from the crowd.
Okay. So, Carrie, would you want to repeat that? So I don't get it wrong.
Yeah, Brittany, I was just saying that the budget hearing is its own meeting with its own set of minutes. Typically, we've had that at the beginning before our regular meeting, but we do need to advertise that twice in the newspaper, and we've always done it where then we advertise the regular meeting will follow the budget hearing. So I can give Teresa...
So we have to advertise that we're going to have a budget hearing on June 22nd with the commissioner.
No, July 10th.
On July 10th for our budget hearing for the public to be able to make comment.
Right. So the meeting with the commissioners on the 22nd is for the commissioners to ask questions if they have any. But according to the Department of Audit, all special use districts have to have their own budget hearing before July 20th.
I can help you with that, Brittany.
And you noted that could be at our regularly scheduled meeting. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Prior to.
Oh.
Yeah. So it can be at 4. Well, let's see. When is that? That's in KC,
it's
right?
At 5 o'clock, our regular meeting. Is it 5
so
o'clock?
So at 5 o'clock, we have our budget hearing. And then we adjourn from it, and re-adjourn as our regular meeting.
So our July meeting's in KC. So the budget hearing would have to be at like 4:30.
Yeah, or 5. Like just start it at our regular time and just advertise it at 5 with the regular rural health care district meeting to follow.
Okay.
And is that also the
with
meeting?
That, I'm going to make sure I call Porter Muirhead and maybe tell him not to be there till like 5:45, because then by the time our budget hearing and stuff, I just don't want them to sit around and wait.
Brittany,
doing the budget hearing and then the vouchers. So
typically, our budget hearing lasts about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Or less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll.
5:30.
And this is more than just letting the papers and media know. This is like actually placing an advertisement about it? Or
yes.
Does that?
Yes. A legal notice.
Okay, perfect then. Any more on those budgets in the old business? Okay, Buffalo EMS contract, we are just finishing up with that, and I'm hoping within the next day we can have the contract just with some minor changes that we will discuss to Buffalo EMS, and then we can bring all of that to the board and let them, or let the public know once any changes are made, but that will be coming soon. So any questions on that?
Well, we have to let, when did it say we have to let some term of this contract will be for 4 years, July 1st, but I was thinking there was something in there about notifying Dave, but it looks like we're good, Brittany. I don't think we have to follow that 125-day. Well, it's district shall notify contractor.
Because we've already notified and approved
the number. Because we already did that.
And approved the number.
Approved the 4 years, so I think we're good there. Yeah. Never mind.
Also.
Okay. All right.
And Brittany, you and Marie will get with Buffalo EMS. Oh, sorry. You and Marie will get with Buffalo EMS, and then after the updates are made.
Yes. Once I haven't heard from all board members saying that, like, what I sent out was good. So once that happens, I'll send it to Buffalo EMS, and then I'll make sure that everyone's very informed of any changes or anything. And just so you are aware, if there are things, we may have to have a special meeting prior to June 30th if anything needs voted on. But we'll probably have to have a meeting anyway July before then, because we'll have to vote on this contract.
Yeah.
If both parties agree, we will have to have a special meeting to vote.
Mm-hmm.
To approve it, if I am correct.
How would you like to be notified regarding our satisfaction with the current contract?
You could just email me.
Okay.
RFP with the new building, we're getting, I sent everyone, we just got another RFP. This one, the one that we just recently got, I don't believe is in state. And so as far as I know, according to the grant, we do have to have a Wyoming-based company. So that might kind of narrow some of those down. But they have until, I believe, June 30th. And so at our July meeting, I'm going to kind of table this RFP new building to the July meeting, just because that's when we'll have all the RFPs in.
Sounds good.
Okay, is there any call for any more old business that we missed? Oh, sorry, employee handbook. We're gonna also table that. There was some questions Marilyn brought up. There is just some things that we need to clarify with insurance. They did have a list of drivers and everything. That's probably old, and we need to update that kind of stuff. And then in terms of liability as the age of the drivers, and then Marilyn is also working with some people to determine what constitutes part-time, and if we need to move to hourly pay and things like that to really satisfy legal-wise with that handbook. And so, Marilyn, if you agree, I think we'll table that till the next meeting so we have more concrete understanding of changes that need to be made based on insurance and legal ramifications.
I think that's a good idea to continue it to the next meeting. But I'm certainly hoping that after 4 years, we can get this thing finalized, hopefully at the July meeting. So just for a reminder for the board, so the two things that are kind of outstanding in this handbook is a question about part-time salary. What does that look like when you're an EMT and you're being paid a flat rate or an on-call rate? And also driving the ambulances. You can how do we put that in there of who can drive the ambulances? Those are the two outstanding things that we have. Because I think the last one was whether we had a privacy officer. And I think, didn't we determine that Brittany could be our privacy officer?
Correct.
So then we had to add that piece back into the handbook. So the two outstanding are the how to work that part-time thing and vehicles.
Awesome.
And that's all I had on that, Brittany.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other call for old business at this time?
Well, we could address the question about lift assist policy, whether it's one free notification lift assist in your life or in a one-year period.
That would be great, yes.
And put that one to rest.
Yeah,
I think it should be per calendar year, a year.
It was my understanding that the notification was just so that people don't get a bill without knowing that they're going to get charged. And so from that standpoint, I would guess that it's a lifetime. I mean, we've been there 10 times and they never got a bill. Okay, so now next time we come, you're going to get a bill. So now you're notified. And I don't know why that would change on a calendar year, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, Dave's got a point.
Like I said, that was just the question that that person asked me while we were doing the lift assist. Is this my one for the lifetime or not? Or is there per year? So,
and I think the answer there is this is notification that you're going to be start getting charged from now on if you're a repeat customer.
Is it?
Brittany?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
I think I could only kind of hear Dave a little bit, but I do think lifetime, just for the simple fact that it's really tough if it's different EMTs every time, and then how are they, I mean, then it just requires more from everyone else to kind of figure out when the last time they had the lift assist was, and it might just get to be too sort of daunting to kind of keep, and maybe I'm incorrect. To keep track of everything. And so my suggestion would be lifetime.
Yeah, I go along with Dave. Yeah.
It's like they get one in their freebie in June and then need another one in August and then get, you know, too much.
Our original letter that was drawn up and approved at the last meeting did say per calendar year, I don't disagree with changing that. We have not implemented this because I didn't have a signature from the board, and so we have not handed this letter out to anyone yet. So it's absolutely your discretion to change any of it. I just think that we do need a letter signed so that we can hand that document to those people that it affects. And also the billing company wanted to know how we're going to notify them in through the trip report system. And I was going to visit with Michelle and Crosby and see if they had a similar idea that we would how to notify the billing company so that they are aware. But until we get the letter signed and everything, I think we're still doing lift assist without.
And how is the billing company involved?
Well, we want them to send the bill of $100 per call, knowing it's just a lift assist refusal, but somewhere we need to say that
like
this
flag it in waters so that they know that they need to pull it over for billing to send that bill out to them.
Okay, so they will do the billing and they'll take their 10% of that like other ambulance service fees.
Mm-hmm. And then it's $250 for assisted living facilities or skilled nursing facilities. But they, QuickMed Claims, also asked us if we have any kind of we need to notify them and have an agreement to have them sign it as well. which they might be hesitant to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was QuickMed claims suggestion in this email that Teresa forwarded me.
Is it, I mean, Carrie, can you answer this? Is it, would it be a pain to track how often the lift assists occur to make sure it stays within, like, greater than the calendar year? Or what is your suggestion on the billing side of it?
I mean, I don't think it would be that difficult. We already do a lot of tracking and a lot of spreadsheets and databases on calls where I flag if it's out of county or with a nurse or transfers. So I don't think it would be that difficult, but I also don't want to set the policy for the board. So we'll be happy to go along with whatever you say.
Well, I guess maybe... I didn't realize it had already said calendar year, so I mean, I am fine with saying keeping it for calendar year so we don't have to go through and have a whole new policy. I'm fine to keep it as is.
Did you,
for calendar year?
They said they haven't implemented that yet, though, Brittany, because they didn't have a signature.
I think it'd be pretty easy just to amend that.
Yeah.
Make a motion to amend it to lifetime.
I think it takes...
I'm 50-50, so I'm good either way, guys.
I think it's simpler for you guys instead of resetting the clock every calendar year and doing a new list. And if it's ones you visit often, you know. I mean, but.
How do you feel?
You know, another issue would be if we did calendar year, these people are going to think I get one every year. And, and then we're going to have to try to keep track on who we picked up first the last time, right? And it would be an absolute causing.
Yeah.
I think just like you said, you show up, you do the free one, here's the letter from here on out. Now it's basically
right.
Our policy is that we are charging for lift assist.
Yeah.
If we've never seen that person before, here's your notification of what's going on.
Right.
Basically, we're going to get to the point that we don't have to do that. Everybody's just going to pay. Because I guess in my mind is a goal anyways to not work for free.
And what we do for like the institutions... Where we weren't doing any freebies for them. We were just having to give them the notification that the policy's changed, right? I mean, because...
No, we've been doing free.
Right, but once we implement it, though, do they get a freebie there?
I don't think so.
Right, I didn't think that. But, okay.
Well, that's a good question, though. I can see them saying, okay, so this resident,
yeah.
If they are a Johnson County resident, I would think that... It would make sense to let that one resident have the freebie, but
I guess I would clarify that, but because the difference is, and you guys, you know, when this all got brought up, was they don't want to do the lift because they don't want it to be their liability. You guys are going to do it and take it on that liability, and so I think it's just totally different when you're going to the institutions as compared to someone else's home, and so I think the rules should be different, and I don't think there should be. Because then, yeah, they got, this one gets a freebie now, it's this one, and then you guys are tracking that until you send a bill. I would put the policy in place, and once that's agreed upon.
So I have a question. So like a GAPI, say, it's an assisted living. Does the facility call 911 for a lift assist, or does the person living there?
They do. The facility always calls.
Okay.
And I think they should be charged because they should be able to pick up their own people, personally.
Yeah. Okay. So we just have to figure out an agreement to... I wonder if QuickMeds has maybe a draft or an idea on how that agreement should be moved. Well,
Andy, should that be maybe a question for the attorney, too? Do we have to... I don't see why it would have to be agreed upon, because like you said, if QuickMeds is saying that they have to sign it, we can ask that, but if they refuse to, that doesn't mean we can't put a policy in place, right? We're providing a service, and
yeah, I don't.
Right.
It's our rate. So I guess that would be my question as well.
What do we really need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Notify them and.
we can still bill the facility and they can still be in arrears if they refuse to pay it, but that doesn't change the policy.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I make a motion to define the terms of the lift assist policy for individuals to be notified on the first lift and billed thereafter.
I'll second that.
Second?
Yeah, I did, Brittany.
Sorry. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Do we need to add a separate motion for the institutions? Or were you including that in there?
I think it's already in that, isn't it, Carrie?
It is.
Okay. Well, and that it says...
Well, so you're saying lifetime for once per lifetime per person.
And then we notify the facilities. We're going to do it sort of the same way? Or
does it say, like, does it say once per life?
A separate letter, which I can draw just based on what that says.
I think, and that could be one, it could be the one free one per facility. I mean, I just, that's kind of my opinion.
Notify them.
But.
Just notify them and say the next lift assist we do is in charge.
One more free.
Does that need a separate motion for that, or?
I guess motions never hurt.
Yeah. I'll make a motion for the facilities that the agreement gets made and put in place without the freebie rule for our residential lift assists.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 All the same sign. Motion passes. All right. Any more old business? New business. Does anyone have any new business? Okay. Is there any public comment? Sorry, can you tell me if
there's
any comment?
I'd just like to commend the board on a 1 hour and 15 minute meeting.
It's kind of nice.
Refreshing.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
He wanted to commend the board on a 1 hour and 15 minute meeting.
Oh, I think maybe I should call in every time.
Wow.
All right, guys, thank you very much, and I appreciate you. I'm sorry that I'm not there, and I appreciate you being flexible with me calling in. So do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
All right, second?
Second.
All in favor to adjourn the meeting, aye?
Aye.
All the same sign?
All
right.
Ooh, that's good. We'll see you guys in KC. At 5 o'clock on July 10th. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brittany.
Yeah, I was going to give one to Dr. Schuler.
Bye-bye.
See ya. And then I have one to give to Brittany. I have one at my house to give her.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Treasurer.
Employee
handbook. I don't know if I have. That's the official report. Do you want to keep that? And then we have this.